Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Human Target issues 1, 2, and 3 by Tom King and Greg Smallwood from the DC Black Label. Let's go. I wonder how many know that you can sing the title of this podcast to that outro melody right there.
If you've listened to us long enough, I'm sure you've heard us sing it.
Yeah.
If you have found us in the year of 2022 and never before that, it's possible you don't know. I'll just let you try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And keep listening, because eventually I'll sing it again. Whether on purpose or on accident.
The title and the melody and a fun little Easter egg.
Fun fact, that was an accident. I wrote the music and never even thought about that.
I thought you kind of plugged that in.
No. It was just like after the fact.
You should have lied.
After the fact, it was just like, oh my goodness, it fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Another fun fact I thought about was since it's been a while. I thought about maybe trying to redo the intro.
Yeah.
Coming back for season 5.
Just remix it a little bit.
A different instrumentation, distrument. I don't know, but I just said distrument. Distrument.
If you say it twice, it's on purpose.
Distrument.
It's like jazz.
I feel like there's probably a medication out there.
Yeah.
Distrument. For, I was going to say so many things and it would have taken us in a bad route. Anyway, I thought about redoing the music, and then I didn't.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Today on this episode, though, of things that are happening, we're covering easily.
I was about to hold it up
for
the cameras.
I know. I missed the cameras. We'll get back to it. Easily my favorite comic book of the year, and it's not even close. Human Target, volume... Well, no. What volume is this? 4, 5, 6, something like that?
Who knows?
Recent Human Target, and to be frank, I can't imagine there's another that's more important. I guess you can argue when his first appearance. I don't know. Human Target, Tom King, Greg Smallwood. We're covering this whole series, I think.
Did this start in 2021?
this started the very beginning of 2022, I believe. Maybe it was the very end of 21.
Oh, that's right. We made it to March. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember when we went on our first of 2 hiatuses this year.
Yeah, yeah, we took a little break.
Hiatai.
This is part of the DC Black Label, and it's Tom King. So you might have, if you're one of our longtime listeners, you would have known that I started reading this when it came out just because Tom King wrote.
I thought you were going to say, if you've been listening long enough, you know I have a Tom King tattoo on my butt.
Yeah.
And
well, that's just a given. I don't even have to say that.
I'm a fanboy. Yeah. I like all
you don't
of his
have
tweets.
A Tom King tramp stamp?
No.
No? Weird.
No. I was trying to think of who mine could have been. I don't know. I'll get back to you.
We'll get back to Drew's tramp stamp.
Maybe Grant Morrison.
That's actually one of our new Patreon levels. If you get... all it takes is $1 a month.
Oh, no.
$1 a month and Drew will get a tramp stamp of a comic creator of your choice.
That won't even pay for the tattoo.
Well, we got to get some money in here somehow.
I was going to say if it was like seriously, like if somebody dropped
some bank,
like a grand on us.
You get a tramp stamp of a DC or is any comics creator?
Not any comics creator. There are some that are blacklisted.
Rob Liefeld.
For good reason. I don't want one of them.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, where we digress.
Where were we?
Yeah. So we're going to cover the first 3 issues of Human Target by Tom King and Greg Smallwood. Easily my favorite comic book of the year. It's so, so, so good. That's also coming from
good.
Tom King fanboy over here. But I can't help it. I think Drew will share that sentiment with me as we get into the deep dive. Also, we're also going to segmentize the Alex and Drew rank the MCU and have that as a segment in each of the podcasts moving forward. And when we run out of MCU things, which is hopefully never, we also have some plans for that as well. So stay tuned. So in that segment, we are going to cover Falcon. No. just the Winter Soldier. Captain America, Winter Soldier. Which we watched recently and have some thoughts.
Yeah, and if you listened last week where we were talking about, that was my least anticipated of our rewatching. Maybe you've already created what's that called? Pinata of me.
Yeah, you're just ready to keyboard warrior the heck out of his face.
So yeah, just stick around and you'll have to see what I thought. Did I hate it?
Oh, did you hate it? Oh, anyway, before we get into that, Drew, what you been reading, yo?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh,
Human Target. I've also been reading a. it's not a comic book. I started reading this book. I don't know who wrote it, so I feel bad for saying it, but it's called The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, I think. I just started because it was a Prime reading mm-hmm. thing that I could get for free. And I was on like chapter 5 or 6 or something like that. And I was about to be like, nope, I'm done with this. And I read the beginning of the next chapter and I was like, holy crap. So I'm reading it because I'm really curious. It's like a period piece. It's like a Pride and Prejudice type.
I wonder how many people get to just like right up to the door of where something it gets good. Juicy. Yeah. And then they're like, I'm sorry, I'm bailing.
It's the second book that I've read since finishing Stephen King's Fairy Tale mm-hmm. because I gave up on the first. I was all in whenever I started reading. I'm not going to say the name of it because mm-hmm. I don't want to drag it. But like when the interest, the premise and everything, I was like, man, this is awesome. And then they just rushed through everything that I wanted to feel developed and just filled in all the gaps. And it was like straight into the action. And I was just like, oh, this is just an episodic, a chance to sell a series, a whole bunch of books. Because there's like 8 of these series out. And mm-hmm. I realized that. So I was like, yeah, I gave it 3 nights of like, well, this is drivel.
Yeah.
And that on the third one, I was like, nope, I'm moving over to the 7.5 deaths one.
Nice.
I've also more comic related, less read, mm-hmm. reading related. I just watched the 3rd season of Lock and Key finally. Ah,
nice.
It's pretty good.
I haven't watched any of that.
I found myself watching the 2nd season and I don't know. The 1st season was good. Joe Hill, I can't remember mm-hmm. the other person. It's taken from a graphic novel.
Sure.
And the 2nd season, something happened and I just found myself like engrossed in it, in the storytelling and just the premise. I mean, it's kids find magic keys around their houses that do all kinds of cool things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I watched that. It's graphic novel related. If you have Netflix, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. I am not much better than you. I've read The Human Target a couple times, those issues, just to kind of comb back over and get some notes for the day. Man, it's so good. We're going to get into it.
So good.
I also read a couple issues out of my stack of shame. I think I hit this Spider-Man number 1 over here.
You have Spider-Man number 1?
Yeah, the newest number 1.
Oh.
From Dan Slott, coming back to the title. And I think I read another one of my Iron Man from Christopher Cantwell, getting caught back up in that. But otherwise, it was a light reading week for me. But I did get to break out. You can't see this because we're not doing cameras right now. So Human Target is going to be a 12-issue series. We'll get back into that importance of those 12 issues in a second because it's more than just here's 12 issues. But they broke it into 6 and 6. At the end of the first 6, they took a break because I think part of the reason is Greg Smallwood. I'm not going to speculate on this. I assume that it's probably taking a little bit longer.
I mean, he's doing everything.
He's doing all the art.
Art, yeah. Period, Greg Smallwood.
Yeah, just says art, Greg Smallwood, by the way.
And it is good.
Foreshadowing. It's incredible.
Yeah. I would
10 out of 10.
Like, just about any panel out of this book.
Yeah.
Like, especially the ones where he like plays with light.
Yes.
And like different colors. It's like, mm-hmm. it makes me think of, picture how Michael Bay uses lens flares.
Yeah.
But he uses different colors.
Yeah. It's like a storytelling device for sure. Like it, in some issues, it's like used to change the time. I mean, not that that's exclusive to him, but he is a way with it and effectiveness with it. That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have this volume 1 collection of the first 6 issues that they came out. It's like a hardback with this really nice paper cover. If we think of it, we'll put a link in the description where you can see, Hey, see Alex, what I have here.
Remind me to put a link in the description.
I will try. If you hear me dying over here. It's easy for me to say. Anyway, let's just get right back right into this book.
Yes.
This Human Target, before this book came out.
Is this time for our first 60-second catch-up of season 5?
A version of it, sure. Why not? I don't know how much I'm going to catch up, but I'll give you what I know.
Yeah.
So a 60-second catch-up that is not timed. the Human Target is a DC character, and he's been around for a hot minute. Mm. If you have never heard of the Human Target, you'd be forgiven, because I would wager that even now, despite the incredible popularity of this comic, that most people, even if you're a comic book fan, have not heard of that character. So the Human Target is a man by the name of Christopher Chance, and his quote-unquote superpower is that he is sort of a master of disguise that will put himself into positions to be a target as like a decoy for you. So he can make himself look like anybody and kind of figures out a way to even manipulate powers to an extent. And he will like be a decoy and end up taking the hit for you. If somebody's trying to hit you or somebody's coming after you or you just need a distraction, that's his thing. So pseudo master of disguise, but a little bit of a detective vibe as well.
He had his own TV show?
I think he did at one point. What? Like a long time ago, right?
It was around the same time as Arrow. It was, 2 years before Arrow.
Was it in the Arrowverse?
I don't think so.
What was it on?
I'm just looking right now. I just know it happened beforehand. I just literally clicked into it.
While he's looking at this, this is sponsored by Drew's newest YouTube channel, Drew Makes. There will be links in the description. currently, there is only one subscriber, and it is me. It's that new.
It's not for lack of trying. I tried to subscribe, and YouTube won't let me subscribe to my own channel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's for Fox. So it's okay. It's not the Arrow.
Whatever that is, it's probably not worth watching.
But it is. It's Christopher Chance.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you give us $1,000, we'll watch it and we'll binge watch it and talk to you all about it.
Links to our Patreon in the description.
Yeah.
So
I was going to ask though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you like me to tell you when they made their first appearance, or you want to save that for trivia?
We'll do it for trivia. Okay. And I'll try to not see it when I'm looking for my
around
question.
To the end.
Yep. So Human Target, super obscure deep cut of the DC universe. But that's what Tom King does, right? He takes characters that maybe are not completely unknown. Like, I don't think, you know, Mr. Miracle was just like a nobody, and nor was Vision, but definitely not in like the forefront of any like set of heroes. And he just writes good stories around him, man. It is incredible how much I care about the Human Target now.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of my favorite comics I've ever read. It's just 10 out of 10 all the way through so far. It is not done yet, I believe. Today,
I think it might be issue
8 or 9. I think it might be 9 or 10, probably.
I think it might be, yeah, 9 or 10.
Yeah, 9 or 10 comes out literally today.
You can get
recording this.
The first 6 issues through DC Universe Infinite. You can get the first 8 issues through DC Universe Infinite Ultra.
Right, the expensive one where it gets out. Which, if you're going to read a lot of comics, it's not a bad
deal. Do you think they're ever going to come out with DC Universe Infinite Ultra Max?
God, I hope so.
Where it's just like you get your comics a year in advance.
Right, yeah, before they're written.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how that works. Without further ado, enough of us rambling about this character. So just suffice to say, the last thing I'll say before we get into these comics, Tom King does this thing where he takes those characters that are not as well known, and he just writes such rich story, and he reinvents the character without completely destroying the origins of the character. So this Human Target, issue number 1, starts off.
Can I interrupt right before you get into
you
it?
You can.
If this is your first episode you're listening to, I just want to give you a heads up.
Oh yeah, he's if you hear this, right
now. No, that's the chair I'm sitting in.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the room, people. It's fart.
A dish chair. It's not farts. It's the chair. Okay, continue.
Okay, so this starts off with Christopher Chance, aka the Human Target. You'll probably hear me call him Chance a lot. He's sitting in a hotel room, and he's just kind of talking, and he's got this really bad cough. He's just like a real bad cough, like somebody that's not doing well, and he's kind of talking. We get a lot of inner monologue, and he He's sitting in his kind of murky hotel motel room, and he opens up the side table, and it's got this like a Bible and a pad and a pen and paper, and he gets out the paper and he writes something on it. And fast forward through this, I really want you to read this, guys. So I'm not going to give you all the bloody details because it's just so rich and good that I won't do it a justice. And you need to read this comic.
And you need to see it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's seriously so good. Greg Smallwood's
so good
all day. But in this opening scene, Christopher Chance, the Human Target, gets out a pad of paper in his hotel room after hacking up, and like the only thing suppressing his cough is some whiskey in his flask. And he writes a note, and he has some kind of somber thoughts, and he lays down and he dies.
Yeah. See, somehow, even though I read, this was my second reading. I read the first four issues back a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
You missed that?
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe I thought it was being dramatic.
Uh-huh.
And even seeing how things unfold in this very episode.
Like it was a metaphor or something, like he lays down and then he just says, I die.
Yeah, like, and I might be jumping ahead just a bit, but like the thing that happens right after that is we have these beautiful panels going like day 12, day 11, day 10, working our way back and all this stuff. And somehow that didn't dawn on me that we were actually going back in time.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't until this reading that I was like, oh, wow, this is, there's a lot more.
Those are a ton of depth to this.
Going on here.
Immediately.
Knowing what I knew from the first four issues.
Right.
So, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what you just said, so he dies in the first three pages.
Yeah.
Like in his hotel room, there's no action. We don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, the next thing is a sequence of these little, very micro vignettes of moments of the last 12 days of the life of the Human Target, the life of Christopher Chance. And it goes through and it has like a little clips of text and like a different shade. Mm-hmm. And we can't really tell what's going on. And you'll kind of, you get the feeling that we're going to come back to these little moments later in all these issues. Yeah,
it's like we're zoomed into macro for just a second.
Right.
And you can't figure out what's happening.
So we go all the way back to day one.
Yep.
And Christopher Chance is nowhere to be seen in this first scene. And instead we're in the office of one Lex Luthor.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, whoa. Fighting in the big leagues here.
Yeah.
What's the significance?
If you don't know who Lex Luthor is and you're listening to this podcast, wow. But we'll be nice and just say he's the most iconic Superman villain that there is. Like he's
kind of supposed to be like sometimes you hear of him being described as like the smartest man on Earth, super rich, super powerful, but also super xenophobic. In regards to Superman.
Yes.
Like he wants what Superman has, but at the same time, he wants to take Superman out all the time.
Yeah. So we're at Lex Luthor's office and we kind of find out quickly that there's this big event happening at LexCorp.
It's like a TED Talk, but for Lex. Yeah. Or like an Apple event, but for LexCorp.
And they make a big deal about how it's being like streamed, not just internationally, but like intergalactically.
Multiversally.
Like, yeah. Multiversally streamed. Yeah. Like whatever he's about to announce is going to be that big. That everybody needs to know. And, you know, we're aware as the reader, like Lex is not necessarily a good guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing this. So when he gets started, all of a sudden this, I don't know, how would you describe him? I don't want to say a crazy person, but like an extremist almost.
Yeah,
like an extremist shows up and just shoots, like from the crowd, shoots Lex Luthor in the chest. And you're like, what the heck is going on? Everybody's dying immediately in this comic. So he shoots him and he gets up and like, we're getting this is really creative. Like the art is coming from the perspective of a cell phone footage that somebody in the crowd is recording amidst the chaos of one of the biggest, I mean, men in the world and in the comic universe. Lex Luthor was just shot dead on a live stream multiversally. So he's talking about how he did what the Justice League of America couldn't do. He did what Superman couldn't do, and he finally put away Lex Luthor, this awful man. I almost said awesome.
By the way, he's strapped with explosives.
Yes, he does have bombs around him. He's like holding. He's gone off the deep end a little bit. So he's doing all this, and he's kind of villain monologuing, but on a much smaller, less experienced scale. And then suddenly, like as it's doing it, the camera is getting wider and wider, and you see Lex's body laying on the ground. And then he gets up and he walks up behind him and he just clocks this dude as hard as he can and knocks him out. And then they apprehend him. And it turns out that that was not Lex Luthor. That was Christopher Chance, the Human Target in disguise doing his thing. So Lex Luthor hired Christopher Chance to be his decoy because he knew somebody was going to come after him, and he wanted him to find out who it was, take the hit, and get to the bottom of this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to rewind a second because I missed a little part. When he was being Lex Luthor in his office talking to his secretary.
He drank the worst cup of coffee in his life.
Yeah, this is really bad cup of coffee. And it had this like real tinny metallic taste to it. He was like describing it in such great detail just to really tell you how gross it was.
Also interesting to read the second time around.
Yeah. So when he got shot, we kind of find out that he was trying to play dead a little bit longer. And some of it, like the pressure from the chest hitting him, made him cough. Like he coughed up quite a bit of it. So he had to retaste it, kind of regurgitated it. Super nasty. We find out quickly though, after he leaves, he starts like feeling kind of gross and he's driving away and he like straight up blacks out and wrecks his car into a tree. And long story short, he was poisoned.
Yeah.
He wakes drinking up, coffee that was supposed to be for Lex Luthor.
Wakes up in the office of Dr. Midnight.
Yes.
One of the Justice Society members who's mm-hmm. basically telling, yeah, you've been poisoned.
Yep. You've been poisoned. So that kind of sets the stage. He goes back to Lex Luthor and he's like, who would want to kill you? And Lex is like, I can assure you that it's unfortunate that you will probably not be around long enough to find out who the killer was, I'm going to find out just because they did come after me and they will suffer much worse than you could possibly imagine. Yeah. I should also mention that when the Lex Luthor had been tracking him, I guess, and sent people to go get him when he realized he had crashed after he left the LexCorp, and then they sent him to the Justice Society, to Dr. Midnight. And Dr. Midnight, while he can't tell what the poison is, he has an antidote that will keep him alive for 12 days, hence the 12 issues of this comic. So we're going through the last 12 days of the life of Christopher Chance, the Human Target.
So those 12 countdowns that we saw in the first couple pages make a little more sense once you get there.
Yes.
But I'll be honest, whenever I got there the first time around, I didn't put two and two together. But yeah, then this is where Midnight drops the bomb.
Yeah, so they haven't figured anything out. Midnight tries to kind of like reach out. He realizes there's some dialogue again. I am giving you 5% of this comic. You're not going to get the full richness of it if you don't read it. I highly encourage you to read it. But he can recognize when he's basically giving Chance's death sentence, like he can see that Chance doesn't really have anybody. He's going to my home. Dr. Midnight even asks him, he's like, hey, Chance, I'd like you to come to church with me. I mean, I know that might not be something you're used to. And Chance is kind of like, save it, man. That's not my thing. And he goes back to his motel room after kind of like talking to Lex and trying to figure this out. And he doesn't really have a clue. And he gets a call from Dr. Midnight. And Dr. Midnight says, hey, I felt bad that there was nothing I could do to help you. And I know you told me earlier not to give this to Batman. Like, it's your murder. It's your mystery. Because that was what they suggested before. Like, there were unique hydrogen and oxygen atoms in the poison, like the untraceable ones. That's how they got through Lex's security system. And he says, I did a little bit more digging on what I could, and I found that this certain formulation of this poison is only from this very specific planet. Mm-hmm. And the only people in recorded history that have gone to that planet and come back alive is the Justice League International.
Bum, bum, bum.
So that is a good guy team, right? Yeah, yeah. So the final spread of this, like in this comic, is we get this spread of all these awesome heroes. Mm-hmm. Some of them you might recognize, some of them not. Let's see,
John Jones.
John Jones.
Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter is one of the big ones. Batman's in there.
Guy Gardner.
Fire and Ice. Mm-hmm. Foreshadowing.
Blue Beetle, Booster Gold.
Yeah, so some definitely well-known DC characters. There's a few others as well. And so suddenly we have some suspects, but they're all good guys. And after getting this news, Chance hangs up the phone with Dr. Midnight and lays down in his bed, and he just goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And that's the end of issue one. So setting up this whole story.
Like 12 issues? There were 12.
Yeah, there were 12 JLI members. Yes. And 12 issues to go, and that's, we kind of figure out that before he dies, he's going to try to get through every single one of them and find out who killed him, who signed his deathbed. As we know, they succeeded by the the opening scene, he dies. Mm-hmm. What did you think of issue one, Drew?
It was good. I mean, like, it was just a nice firing on all cylinders sort of thing. Instantly gives you a buy-in. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I need to know. And the whole thing, Tom King is, the narration feels like you're watching an old Dick Tracy movie or something like that. Like, detective noir type thing. I mean, it's not necessarily written that, like, drawn that way, but yeah, like, I can almost picture him talking about, I ignore the smell, he ignores the gunshots, you see,
right?
You
know, yeah, like that sort it of definitely thing. Has a neo noir feel to it, like a new take on that. It's so good.
Maybe more like if James Bond driving his Aston Martin or Austin, yes, Healey,
Daniel Craig James Bond, like, yeah, recent stuff.
If he was narrating the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's solid.
I've still never seen a Daniel Craig James Bond movie.
That is crazy.
I don't know why. I haven't purposely avoided it.
We're going to have to do that. Alex and Drew rank the Daniel Craig James Bond universe.
If we do it, it just needs to be that Alex and Drew rank the JBU.
Yeah.
The James Bond universe. Start with...
Oh, go through all of it?
Go through all of it. And also that one, the Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
That was the original Casino Royale.
The OG one, yeah.
That was like, I've seen that one. It's like a comedy or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. It's,
anyway.
It's not as good as the new one.
Hot take. Seen it. Couldn't tell you.
Hot take. Cool. So we're going to jump into issue two. Issue two is a very important one throughout the whole thing. This kind of takes, so we have like a direction that this story is going to go, right? Like, Christopher Chance is going to go and try to find out who killed him, mm-hmm, or really who was trying to kill Lex Luthor. And ended up killing him. It's kind of funny that he took a bullet for Lex and drank poison for him all on the same day. Like, it turns out that one of them was way, way worse than the other.
And if it hadn't been for getting shot and throwing up,
yeah,
just enough of the poison, he would have been dead.
Yeah. So he got just enough in his stream and just enough antibodies, mm-hmm, to stay awake for a little bit longer. So issue two, has a lot in it. I'm going to, again, try to hit the high notes, and Drew will kind of supplement that. And then, again, I'm going to say this over and over. Please read these comics. They're so, so good.
So, so good.
If you're listening this far and somehow this is on YouTube, write in the comments, hashtag so, so good.
Yeah.
So we wake up with Chance. Ooh. And he goes down to this little cafe that is underneath his apartment. Hotel type thing. I guess it's not apartment? A motel, is it?
I thought that this was his office.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, is that his, where... It's different than the hotel, though, right? Have I been confusing those as the same... They should be the same thing, where he dies in the beginning? Is that his...
I thought that was... I don't know where that is, but I just assumed that... Because he's going there... I could be wrong.
It is his office.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's sleeping somewhere else. This is just, right, like, where he goes to...
Yeah. Okay, so he's at his office... Below it is this cafe owned by this guy.
I mean, it's really
guy.
Not that important. Sorry, right. I shouldn't have.
It matters. So it's just a little detail that there's this guy who kind of has used Christopher Chance for some things, and they kind of have a very friendly but casual "don't ask, don't tell." Mm-hmm. I'll scratch my back, you scratch, or you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We both scratch our own back.
I'll scratch my back.
Yeah. But he's down there getting some breakfast, and the owner. What's that guy's name?
It's
like Jimmy or something.
It's Luigi, but it's not Luigi.
Oh, yeah.
His name isn't Luigi.
He calls him Luigi, but we don't actually know what his name is, right?
Yeah.
They kind of hint that he's like, I don't ask questions.
Yeah, I don't
see. Yeah. So Luigi, he's cooking Chance some breakfast, and he's like, by the way, it looks like you've got your work cut out for you. I let her upstairs. And Chance is like, you let who upstairs? Yeah. And he goes, there's some women that you can say no to, and then there's some that you can't.
Yeah.
And Chance goes up to his office, mm-hmm, and a DC character by the name of Ice is up there. And the book does this purposely. Like, okay, so comic books can be very guilty of, like, over-sexualizing women characters. Mm-hmm. And like, still, that's a problem in a lot of areas. So I'm going to choose my words carefully. I do think it is important to note that, like, the way Greg Smallwood portrays the character of Ice in his art, he is like trying to portray, no, she is beautiful, like, mm-hmm, very, very pretty and like captivating. And that plays into a lot of like the story moving forward. So just like painting a picture, Ice is like very beautiful woman. And Chance walks in and she's like, "Hi, I'm Ice, and I'm really hoping that you can help me."
Yeah.
So if you remember what we were just talking about in issue one, Ice is a member of the Justice League International. And in the office, she tells Chance that she called Dr. Midnight, or Dr. Midnight called her and basically told her what was going on. Like, hey, the Human Target got taken out and it's looking like there might be reason to suspect that a member of the Justice League International, which you are a member of, is responsible for this. So Ice went out of her way to find Christopher Chance, and she basically wants to help him, but also wants to make it clear that she is so confident in the goodness of her team in Justice League International that it wasn't one of them. Like, she wants to help and just clear everybody's name, essentially. So she also has the powers of kind of like Iceman. Like, it's kind of like that. I don't know who would be more powerful, but they're both pretty OP, I think, and we get the tastes of that later in this in this series. But she can like manipulate ice and snow and freeze things and, you know, do all that. And like, there's lots of very tasteful notes throughout the thing of like the temperature in the room dropping a few degrees when she walks in there and other things like that. So Chance notes that it's super cold and suggests that they kind of get out of there and just talk. Like, she wants, like, okay, you want to help? Let's go talk this out. And they decide to drive to somewhere warmer so that he can be comfortable, because he is dying, you know, after all. So they drive a couple hours to this beach, and they end up spending the whole day together. And there's just kind of some nice character development of like learning who Ice is and who Chance is and their backgrounds. And they go through this moment where they're kind of flirting a little bit, but also, you know, kind of getting to the bottom, and she's kind of pitching her case, and she's trying to say without saying, like, that a specific member of the JLI for sure isn't, you know. So I'll say Fire and Ice are on the JLI, and they're kind of like a complementary team. You can imagine what both of them do. And Fire is known for having kind of like a heated personality. You know, they kind of lean into the character design.
I see
design.
What you did there.
Right. So Ice especially, it seems, wants to make sure that I don't think it's her sister, but like super close friends, sister type of thing. Make sure that Chance knows that it was not Fire for sure that did this. Like, she needs Chance to know that. So they go swimming at one point, and Chance starts having like the first of many of these like manic coughing fits, like just truly bad place to have them out in the middle of the ocean. And Ice swims over to him and kisses him and like freezes the stuff out of him. So we get this first little like romantic wink of what's going on here. And it's also, I think, important to note that despite Chance knowing he has 12 days to live, 11 at this point, that he chose to spend an entire day with Ice. You know, there's some human elements of like, I don't want to quite call it lust, but like maybe love and him like trying to find somebody to hang on to at the end of his life. You know, we're starting to plant seeds with that a little bit. And it gets to this last thing where he's been questioning her all day, or not questioning her, but talking all day and learning and hearing her out. And she's been kind of helping him like hypothesize how this could have come to be, who would have been going after Lex, why they would poison you, why this poison is so hard to trace. And she decides she's going to help him go through like all the Justice League. She's like, I'm sure all these people will be available to talk. I think we're going to start with Booster Gold. You know, he's nearby. He's opening up this bagel shop of all things, and we're going to go talk to him and just see if he has breakfast. Anything today.
Yeah, I wonder if it was intentional or if it was because I read Booster's Bagels last night.
It had to be that. Yeah, there's no other way. So at the end of this issue, they've had this good day together. There was a little bit of a kiss, but framed as maybe just saving him, but maybe it meant something more. And it ends with them parting ways for the night and Chance revealing that the whole thing of getting of her coming over to visit him, that he knew it was going to happen because he was the one that made the call.
Yeah, because he can do his voice.
He's too. The Human Target. Not only can he look like somebody, but he can impersonate their voices and their powers and all this other stuff. So he called Ice knowing that she was probably the least likely in his like understanding to be the one to do it. Like, he wanted to get to her first. He felt like he could get to her. So this whole thing like suddenly has a bit of a skew on it, right? It sounds like she's coming out of, you know, the goodness of her heart to help, but also wants to really make sure that her team's in the clear. But now it feels a little bit manipulated, yeah. like that he did this thing. But then also there's like a feeling of maybe he's catching feelings for her as well. And then the end of issue two, did I miss a piece?
There was one page. I think it's worth mentioning.
Sure.
I'm just going to try to give the aerial view of it. They're kind of talking about, they're spitballing. I think this is while they're sitting out there floating in the water. Mm-hmm. That who, is there anybody on the JLI that has a reason to want Lex dead?
Right.
And she starts talking about the time that she died.
Right. Sorry, and, I did miss that.
Yeah, because there's this guy, Overmaster. I'm not sure who he is, where he is. But anyway, he came and somehow she ended up getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And...
As we know, characters come back from the dead.
He makes a comment, I notice you're not as dead as you used to be.
Yeah.
Twist is I came back. But mm-hmm. Her boyfriend, or the guy who thinks is her boyfriend.
Right.
You know.
It's her boyfriend at the time, I think.
Yeah. Guy Gardner, one of the Green Lanterns.
Who was also on the Justice League International. Yeah.
He, like she was saying, it's possible that he, you know, he's pretty volatile.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand if he wanted to kill Lex.
Right. He's the type of guy that, like, despite her coming back, is holding a grudge. This guy still killed my girlfriend, even if they're not together anymore. Yeah. And he's pretty heated about it. So she's thinking maybe he's at least worth questioning, but she still wants to believe that nobody on the JLI would have intentionally hurt the human target, even if there are people that might have wanted to come after Lex Luthor.
And then on that very same page... She says, like, after that, I went to Fire and felt lost. She always finds me. I told her what Guy had said, probably about wanting to kill him. And she said, she went off about how she was going to. She says a lot of things. But that day, she said she wanted to kill Lex, you know. But
right, which is also her sister, you know. Like,
but I knew she didn't. I knew she wouldn't, you know. Right. So, like, that same page. It's basically, she's like... Guy could, you know, wanted to, but I know he wouldn't. All this, blah, blah, blah.
She's just kind of trusting these people.
Yeah.
There's another thought I had, and it just escaped me. I'll get back to it if I think of it. So that's the end of issue two. So we've met one of the JLI, Christopher Chance. What looked like was wasting a full day, kind of like flirting and getting to know somebody, but then also like there's some layers of him trying to relate to another human. And, you know, the waning moments of his life. But then it turns out he was doing detective work the entire time. Yeah. Even if it is now not what he was expecting, that he might be falling for Ice. We go to issue three. And Chance wakes up and he, like, has been dreaming about Ice. And he can, like, still smell her perfume on him and stuff like that. So
he's made that comment a couple times.
Yeah.
That might have been on the very first page.
I think so. Like when he, like episode or issue one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I can still smell her perfume. Foreshadowing. So he wakes up and he's kind of like in this sleepy, dreamy state, still laying there. And then he hears this voice and somebody is sitting at the foot of his bed. And who is other than Guy Gardner that we were just talking about, who has like a creepy stalker ex-boyfriend been following Ice.
Yeah.
And basically is immediately he broke into Chance's place and is calling him out for hanging out with his girl, quote unquote. And he's doing that creepy, like, you're hanging out with my girl. Ice is mine.
Yeah.
You need to step back and leave her alone. And it gets heated pretty quick. Chance pulls out a gun and fires at hit at Guy Gardner, knowing full well, this is a nice moment, full well that it's not going to do anything because he's a Green Lantern, right? The ring is going to protect him from simple things such as a gunfire. And he basically makes a comment like, I know as well as he does that the ring's going to protect him, but what this shot does do is let us skip the pleasantries and get straight to business, you know? Yeah. So Chance is not a superhuman in any sense of the way. Like, he might have, like, some fighting skills or something. And, I think, like, we super learned, smart.
Unless I'm misremembering it, maybe he got some training. Was he the one that got training from Ra's al Ghul, or was that somebody else? Whenever we're hearing stuff, or later in a different,
He did get some training. I think so. Yeah.
I mean, he can hold.
He's got some skills, but he's not a superhuman strength or anything like that. Yeah, so, pretty quickly, Guy Gardner gets the upper hand in this and kind of beats the crap out of him, and then just leaves him in his room. And he kind of comes to, and Ice is there trying to take care of them, and then we move to the cafe. and he's kind of like licking his wounds a little bit, and she's patching him up, and they decide to go, despite all that mess, to Booster Gold's and stick with the plan because, you know, they're limited on time. So they're driving, and they pull up to this stoplight, and Guy Gardner pulls up next to them in a car completely made out of the Green Lantern energy.
I love this scene. They're like, we got somebody following us trying to get closer. And he's like, well, it's a car made of green energy.
Yeah.
So I think we can rule out Batman.
Right.
Like that.
So he shows up, and he's like still tracking her, and mm-hmm. he's like, oh, you didn't get the message earlier. Maybe I need to explain a little bit more in detail why you need to get away from my girl. And Ice is doing a thing like, Guy, you are nuts. Leave me alone. We're not together. And he's doing that mansplaining. Mm-hmm. Baby, you just don't understand, you know, what we mean for each other. And you're going to learn one day. They kind of point him to be a pretty toxic human being. I don't have a lot of history with Guy Gardner.
I mean,
and know if he's like that canonically, but
he's quick to pull the trigger type of a guy.
Yeah, you know? A little high-headed. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely like early on. We're in issue three. You're like, okay, maybe this guy's not awesome. Maybe not that Lex Luthor didn't deserve to be have an assassination put on him for all the terrible things he's done, but also maybe he's suspect number one right now. Mm-hmm. So Chance, being the smart guy that he is, like Guy is like so heated and so focused in the car. Keep in mind, they're sitting at a stoplight in traffic. And he starts monologuing. He's like, you know, sometimes you just have to be like the target. It's about the perception. It's about the lie. It's not just about a costume. It's making people think things and not seeing the person behind the mask. So Chance starts to inch forward his car, even though they're at a red light. And his plan, which works, is that he assumes that Guy thinks that Chance would be paying attention. And if Chance is moving forward, the light's green. It's not. So he makes Guy pull into oncoming traffic, and he gets T-boned by this big truck. Yeah. And then they drive off, and they're like, Chance, he should have been watching the road.
The lantern will make sure that the truck driver's okay.
Yeah, probably, the lantern safety.
Probably Guy also.
Yeah, and he makes some quippy comment about, he's like, even though the ring has always stuck with that jackass or something all the time. So anyway, they go to Booster Gold. There's a lot going on here, but long story short of finding Booster Gold is that while he's trying to like, so he comes from the future, right? Like, so that's his thing. He wasn't really anything in the future, so he came with future tech to the past to become a superhero, and he kind of became something.
Yeah.
He's starting this bagel this bagel business, but he's got these super rare ingredients, right, that he's literally pulling from other moments in time.
Yeah.
And it turns out that one of those ingredients is one of the, like, that has the weird hydrogen-oxygen mixture that was traced in the poison. And they kind of come to the thing where they're like, okay, maybe somehow these ingredients are related, but also just through their conversations with Booster Gold, they realize that he's kind of just he's just not the one, right? Like, he's not the one that was going after Lex Luthor. His mind is elsewhere.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit. The motive doesn't do that. But they do kind of find out that his friend, Ted Kord, who is the Blue Beetle, another member of the JLI, was like kind of heavily vested in like making sure that Booster was successful and might have been responsible for like him getting the funds to be able to do some of this stuff. So they kind of decide, okay, maybe he's the next guy on our list that we need to go check out. So end of the day again. Did I miss anything in between that?
Just that whenever they leave Booster's Bagels, Guy Gardner's leaning up against a pile of Chance's car that he has dismantled, and Ice basically was like, put it back together. And then the next scene we see...
Well, it's good you mentioned that. Ice like makes him put his car back together by like flexing her powers because like as strong as Guy Gardner is, we're like learning quickly that this portrayal, and maybe moving forward because it's awesome, of Ice is like, she is very, very powerful and she seems to be maybe even pulling her punches some a little bit, as we might see later. So he puts the car back together. They go home, go their separate ways, and Chance is laying in bed again.
Yeah, and I happen to see this.
Uh-huh.
Yes. He's at the Safari Hotel or something like that. Motel.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a motel and his office on top of Luigi's.
Yeah. So he's staying in a motel. So he's in his motel bed. And Guy, again, was this the fourth time?
Something like that.
Fourth time today that he's like he kicks open Chance's door and is about to get rough with him again now that Ice is not there and he's still spewing his jargon and his mess. And who but Hal Jordan, like the Green Lantern, right?
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, I guess a lot of John Stewart's another really big one. But anyway, Hal Jordan flies down and there's like some inner monologue that it's well known that if he's scared of anybody, it's Hal.
Yeah.
So Hal flies down and was like, look, man, Chance called me earlier and he told me all this stuff you've been doing. I've warned you before that we're going to have to keep you in check if you keep acting a fool. Like, this is not cool. You're a Green Lantern. You can't do this. And he makes him give him his Green Lantern ring. Yeah. It's like the source of all his power.
And like Guy's face is just like that kid pouting. Yeah. I was just like, nice.
Yeah. It's a super awesome moment. Like he got the one guy in the galaxy that he like can't do anything about. So he gets his ring. Guy leaves. And we find out it's another trick by the Human Target. Yeah. He got some of Booster's tech from the future or whatever it was. And made Luigi look like Hal Jordan, which is his costuming disguise trick. Just,
because whenever we see Hal Jordan, he's flying in.
Right.
And it's because, he got Booster's Legion ring.
Yeah.
Legion of Superheroes, which allows him to fly.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. Yeah. So he got the Legion ring from Booster. He flies in dressed as Hal Jordan and does the voice, like Human Target trick stuff. Mm-hmm. And they get Hal Jordan's or Guy Gardner's Green Lantern ring.
Yeah.
And Guy leaves, and then they finally are like,
what?
He says, can I keep the ring? And he was like, I don't know about Booster's Legion. He's like, no, I mean the Green Lantern ring. And he's like, does it look like I care?
Yeah.
And he just leaves. Like, and it ends right there, right?
Because Luigi had made a comment earlier in the book saying, man, because I think he knew about it. He's like, somebody, if I had the power of that ring, I'd do all this stuff.
Right.
Know? And apparently, I'd really be curious to see what he did.
Yeah. And it ends right there, right? Like, so that's the second time Chance has kind of bested or showed like just how good he is. It doesn't have to be just him in disguise or doing the voice. He can make other people do the same thing. And that's the end of issue 3.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thoughts on the first three is like a little arc kind of putting us on this path.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me still just kind of wondering, well, who is it? Who? And of course, at this point, I'm 6 issues in. I guess I should say I'm spoiling a bit. I still don't know,
right?
Because I mean, they're not gonna tell us what happens in issue 6.
Yeah, but we get further along. It's impossible for us again to tell you everything. Like, we don't have time to read these all out. The art adds so much. The dialogue is truly incredible through all of this. Please read it, y'all. Just do it.
Just do it.
We're going to be doing issues 4, 5, and 6 next episode.
Yep. Give you time to get some read. Because that's, there's some spoil-tastic things that happen in those issues.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend you find a way to read up through 6 before you listen to the next episode.
Yes. Some big turning point for sure. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts before we take a quick break and get into Alex and Drew Rank the MCU segment?
Issue 6 really packs a punch.
It really does.
No, I mean, it's good. Go read it. The apple crisp oat milk latte that I just had from Starbucks is running right through me. So I think I need to take a little break before we move on.
Yeah. All right. We will be right back. And we're back with our lightning round trivia question, where our questions are faster than Ice threatened Guy Gardner to put back Chance's car.
I was going to say faster than a dump truck.
Faster than a dump truck.
Because that's what hit him.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, what? we have a couple quick questions. Mine is kind of a deep cut. Again, there's not like, to my knowledge, some like rich, it's not like we're looking for Batman, right? You know, where there's just all this stuff to pull from. That's pretty limited. But do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? Cool.
So this has potential for just like we normally do. I'll tell you, you can get as descriptive as you want.
I will say real quick, this is not the end of the episode. We are doing Alex and Drew Rank the MCU segment right after this question.
We just thought we'd stick with Human Target while you were in the DC mindset.
Yes.
I'm just looking for original or the debut appearance. So you can talk year, you can talk comic title, you can talk comic number.
Okay.
And it... There's also potential for two. two different appearances.
Two different first appearances?
Yeah.
Because like first appearance and first
people,
issue.
Two different people.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he's been played by, or multiple people have taken up the mantle. I don't know the answer to any of these. I'll give a swing at the year and the comic. I'm okay. guessing like 1951 for the first year.
What comic?
Detective Comics 36.
Okay. Well, you got close with your year. Uh-huh. It's actually 53.
Okay.
Whenever we had Fred Venable as the character.
Right.
But it was Detective Comics.
Nice.
But Detective Comics number 201.
Okay, so way off there.
I'll give you a point. Do you want to make a guess for Christopher Chance?
In his debut?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the year and the comic?
Sure. Same deal.
We'll guess that. What was the name of the first guy?
Fred Popeil. No, Fred Venable. Fred Popeil was the set it and forget it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie stayed the
Ronco,
character.
Ronco Food Dehydrator.
That's Fred Popeil. I'm going to assume that that Chance took over the mantle in 1958. Nope.
1972.
Oh, wow. So much later.
Yeah.
And it was in Human Target number 1.
Nope.
Dang it.
Action Comics number 419, December 1972.
Wow.
So, yeah. Not bad. You got a point.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Because you picked Detective Comics.
Mine's just like a thing that's happened. So, at one point in the comics, Christopher Chance is hired to become Batman. To be the Human Target for Batman.
Okay.
So that they can stop, I believe it is Deadshot.
Okay.
From taking him out. Yep, Deadshot. Who hired him to do this?
I mean, my gut, this is not my final answer. My gut is just Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think deeper. It would have to be somebody... okay, this is just a long shot. I'm going to say Alfred.
That is correct. Yeah. Alfred Pennyworth.
I was just thinking,
Butler.
Alfred cares for him, you know?
Yeah.
And I could see Bruce having a hard time ever wanting to put somebody else in the hot seat for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Alfred is just like, no, Bruce is my boy.
My boy,
Bruce.
Gotta take care of my boy, Bruce. Yeah. So Alfred hired Chance to impersonate Batman to take a hit by Deadshot. They eventually teamed up and took out Deadshot together.
Nice.
Yeah.
1-1. We're tied.
Tied until next time when we both get it wrong.
And then we'll be tied.
Cool. Are you ready to move on to some Alex and Drew rank the MCU? Captain America
ready.
Winter Soldier Edition. Guys, this movie. Okay. Stop it. Siri, I wasn't talking to you. Okay, we've got our Google Sheets pulled up. By the way, did we put the link in the description last episode? We're going to share this?
Probably not.
We're going to put the link in the description for you to jump in and join this on this episode and last episode. Please check this out. We have a pretty awesome spreadsheet. One of our good friends and fellow two-man listener, two-man club boy, Nick Kennett, helped fix part of our... Well, not fix. He added to the sheet. So right now we have like all of the MCU films ranked by phase, and we didn't want to like change that to update when we have a new score. We still wanted this in like score order.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick added a custom formula for us that takes our current rankings and spits them out in a who's winning based on the rank and the film title at the end of it. So thank you, Nick, for doing that. I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I texted him one night and I was like, dude, I know you work in sheets all the time. Do you have any idea how I would do this? And like, I just went to bed and I woke up and it was in my inbox the next morning. He's like, here you go.
Thank you, Nick. I'm a bad boy and I haven't pasted mine over yet. So I'm still going to have to go do some math in my head.
Yeah.
But I will paste it over.
So if you don't know, Alex and Drew Rank the MCU is the segment where we are going through and watching the entirety of the MCU and ranking it based on this rubric that we created based on things such as the gut reaction, the story broken into subcategories, plot, character development, representation, continuity, the video is in the CGI and the composition and the color, the music, the general effect and like the action and the drama and the post-credit scenes. And all of these categories are weighted in a way that while definitely far from perfect, give us some sort of metrics and rubric to rank these. And we rank everything out of 10, and the formulas take out those numbers and they weight them to our Google Sheet, and it spits out this grand total, and then it ranks them. And we're going through the entire MCU to do this. We've done all of phase one. We have done all but two, I think, of phase two.
Well, up at this point that you're listening.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
We've done all but three.
All but three. Yeah. So next episode, we're a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
We'll have only but two. So this week we watched Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And yes.
Going into this was my least excited. We talked early on, like, what's your favorite one? What's the one you're most looking forward to?
And least.
And least. And this was my least because I just couldn't remember it. Nothing stuck out to me.
Which is insane.
Other than a silver arm. You know? I was just like, there's...
I wonder what you were doing when you first watched it, that it left such little impression on you.
See, I feel like the only time I've ever watched it has been in the two marathons.
Right.
Like
maybe you just became numb to it.
I binge watched everything in preparation for Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And then I binge watched everything again in preparation for Infinity War.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just like, it was just a drop in the bucket. There were so many other ones I wasn't really thinking movie by movie by movie. So yeah, I didn't really care. I was just like, whatever, it's fine. I'm sure it's a good movie. And so I went in just thinking that. And suffice it to say, I don't feel that way anymore.
So let's just start with that, since you were the one that I was most curious. So we rank initially, we watch it, and then the first thing we do is give it a gut ranking out of 10.
Yes.
What did you give it?
A 9.2.
Yeah.
Which, really good. at this point, put it safely in first of everything that we've watched in order by like half a point.
Yeah. I gave it a 9. Keep in mind, Drew and I's numbers might vary from section to section, movie to movie, as long as we're consistent within each other's or within our own score sheet. It'll all work out, because at the end of this, we're going to average them together and you'll have your two-man score and ranking for all of these. But both very high on the gut reaction to this film.
Yeah.
What did you like think about it now that you have it as fresh on your mind?
It was just...
Spoilers for Captain America Winter Soldier, if you somehow haven't seen it.
Go watch it.
Yeah.
Pause us, open up your Disney Plus or whatever.
Yeah.
Get it from somebody. For one, Alex spoiled it for me.
Because he was just like,
even though I'd seen it twice, I'd forgotten. Alex was like, the setup from my favorite scene in all of the MCU.
Spoilers comes from the Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, it comes from the very first scene in this. And I was just like,
dialogue, I think.
Yeah. And I was just like, wait, are you kidding? So I didn't even know Falcon was in this movie.
Yeah.
And, you know,
For those that don't know, he's referring to the
On Your Left.
It opens up with the On Your Left, right? This iconic moment. In the Marvel Universe now, starts and is referenced several times in the film, but it's just Sam is running and he's like doing his kind of keeping in shape for military stuff, and then Captain America, much faster running, keeps running by him, and it's a courtesy thing, right? Whether you're biking or running or hiking or whatever.
You say on your left.
You say on your left as you're passing somebody so that they're aware that you're there. And he keeps passing him because he's so much faster there. He just keeps saying, on your left, on your left. And the last one, Sam's like, don't say it. And he's like, on your left. And he just sprints by him. And there's this awesome camera work where it pans to where you think he's going to be just ahead of him, because that last one, Sam started sprinting, trying to keep up. And it pans over and he's 100 yards out already, like in seconds, like so much faster.
He makes a comment. He's like, you did 13 miles in 30 minutes. And he's like, oh, I must've gotten a slow start or something. Right? Like that.
Yeah. He's like, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, let's get some of that, like some of the humor of this. Yeah. Where did you rank the humor?
Not super high, because there were some, but not a ton. I think I gave it a 6.
I actually ranked it kind of high. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, our comedy score isn't like, man, this thing was nonstop hilarious.
No, it's
I give
not
it
that.
A 10. Our comedy ranking is the comedy that is there. How well does it deliver?
Yeah.
And I was just like, it was a 6. I mean, because there were some funny things. There were some jokes that I didn't find as funny, you know. But
now I also try to frame this as the first time I saw it, because they're never going to hit as hard.
Yeah,
you know, this has got to be like my 5th or 6th viewing of this movie. But I gave it 8.5. Like some of the stuff was real funny to me. Just like, so we're dealing with Cap, like finally settling down in the future. Like, this is the first film that we saw him in. He's in the past. He wakes up and then it just ends. And then we go straight into Avengers.
Yeah.
This is like him kind of like, okay, we're settling in. What do I need to know? I've missed out some stuff. Some of the moments were kind of good. Where this movie sings is in the action sequences, yeah. Which yeah. I gave it a 10, a perfect score.
Did I do the same? Oh, I gave it a 9.5.
That's fine.
But I've told Still Alex good. Multiple times. It's because I'm trying to wait and see, but it might be that nobody ever gets higher than a 9.5 because right. the action in this movie was different than the action in other superhero movies mm-hmm. where it's just like CGI, all these larger than life fights. But this CG or this action was like meticulous fights and like
very well choreographed
choreography, chase scenes, mm-hmm. like
it and was like characters that we don't get to see do it. Like, yeah. you know, the extended chase with Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Where we don't get to see him flex very often. It's just like there's 10 minutes of Nick Fury awesomeness like yeah. by himself.
Yeah. And that there's just a lot of that in here. Like I looked up at the end and I was like, other than the very like the wrap up
uh-huh.
scene where they're like the movie's done,
yep.
but they're planting seeds for the future.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a single moment in this whole movie where I found myself bored.
Right.
Like it's just nonstop going. And there was never a moment that I questioned any scenes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was just like, okay, this is a lot better than I remember.
Yeah. You know? It's kind of so I try to at least think about, they don't all succeed at this, but does each individual MCU film fall into like a subgenre of film itself? So if this were to be in one, it's kind of a spy thriller with like very, it's not this, but very, very, very subtle noir influences, maybe. I don't even want to say like it's noir flavoring, but influences stylistically, I think. But the action in this, mm-hmm. I still don't know. Like I'm thinking back, maybe Spider-Man No Way Home gets yeah. pretty close in a lot of their stuff, but it's so strong. Maybe the most iconic fight scene.
The elevator
fight scene in this yeah. is out of control good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like the way they layer it in, just building the suspense of everything, like guys keep getting mm-hmm. on and keep getting on. And he's just like Cap's picking up. Like, why is that guy sweating? Yeah. Why is that guy's hand on his weapon? You know?
Yeah.
And then the awesome, like all the boy in me
mm-hmm.
starts flexing his muscles and dancing whenever I hear Cap go before we get started. Does anybody want to get off?
Yeah.
And he just wrecks them all. And then mm-hmm. like the escape scene from the Triskelion yeah. helicarriers, like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I didn't do it. I was
say
like
so good all the time.
I've said it too many times, but I'm sorry. I let that one slide.
No, it's fine. Also the level of detail they go into, like the very first scene where they're going to get the ship that Bartok or Batroc is on. I always say Bartok. I'm a listexic. For those of you who don't know, Batroc is like an iconic Captain America and villain, French fighter kind of guy, and played by George St. Pierre, like world champion MMA fighter, and is, spoilers, played by him again in Falcon the Winter Soldier in the Disney Plus show. So they got this like hyper MMA fighter guy to portray this awesome villain. And there's this awesome fight scene between those two on the ship early on in the film. It's just nonstop action.
Says something about like you're nothing without your shield. What does he say?
Yeah, he says, I thought you were more than a shield.
That's right. Yeah.
And Cap takes the shield, puts it on his back, and takes off his cowl. And he says like, let's find out or something, but he says it in French. Super cool moment. And he still gets the best of him. And then the fight scenes between him and Bucky before he knows it's Bucky when they're out there in the highway.
Yeah.
So awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just very well done, tasteful.
That whole scene where we see the first real team up between Falcon, Black Widow, and him.
Yes.
Like that's like straight up the action. Like it feels like Die Hard.
Yeah.
We're watching Die Hard, but it just happens to be superheroes.
Yeah, and if you look forward also, it's the first time we see them, that trio.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same trio in Infinity War that saved Vision and Wanda at the train station.
I didn't think about that.
They start together there and they're all three of them wind up
nice
there. So awesome. What was lacking here for you? I think the lowest score I gave it, let's see.
I think my lowest was just representation.
That was also my lowest.
Yeah.
That, you know, no. Wait, no, it wasn't.
Or wait, am I looking at Guardians?
I think Guardians is next week.
Yeah. Okay. My lowest was comedy then, and then representation.
I had a bunch. I didn't. This one scored really high for me. I'll give you my score in a second, but I think I gave many things an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
And that's where the lowest was.
Like things that were came down to like the actual crafting of the film, like plot, editing, composition, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I rated pretty high right here. Music was good.
Yeah.
There were some nice moments that I recognized. But this was kind of not your what has become the standard MCU film score approach. This was more a James Bond film.
Yeah.
But it worked for it. It had that intensity, that synth, the driving synths.
And there's some and themes stuff. As well introduced, just Cap's themes, stuff we heard from Cap 1 when he was in his training, stuff that just like auditory callbacks to memories when you hear them.
Yeah. But no, that's, like as I was ranking this the whole time going across, I'm like, wow, I haven't ranked anything this high. From the beginning,
from what we've actually been watching, so where did you end up on your score for this?
It ended up, 9.2 was my gut reaction, and the actual final score ended up being an 82, which put it firmly in first place.
Cool. I was a little higher on it. Again, our scores do not have to be the same to put them in the same space for our own list. We're just looking for consistency. I put it at an 86.42 after a gut ranking of 9, so just below my gut ranking. And that also put it in first place for me from everything from the first film up through the majority of Phase 2.
And I made a note next to mine because I have that like beside the grand total. Like after I see that, I'll make a note like, did I feel like that was right? And for this one, I wrote, should it be higher? Like wondering if maybe I was too critical on a few things. But yeah, it's... From my least anticipated film to the number one, and
I don't see it going down as like a. I don't think this is going to end up in the bottom of the barrel whenever we get to the end of this list.
I mean, it's
like maybe top 10.
I think ultimately anything that cracks 80 going forward is a world beater.
Yeah,
you know, and anything that's in the 70s is still really solid by my estimation.
Right,
because I think when. I always noticed this about myself whenever I was a band director and I was judging for all region and stuff like that. I have a hard time using the whole sheet.
Right.
Like I have a hard time really making it to 100,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think there's going to be a ton of 70s and 80s.
Right.
Just a couple in the 90s, you know? Yeah. So like, and then not very many in the 50s, 60s.
Right. I do have this in first overall. This is barely ahead, but now... These are two separate things. What I scored it versus which one would I rather watch right now.
Uh-huh.
It's barely ahead of Avengers, the first Avengers, by a tenth of a point. So barely. Which one would I'd rather watch Winter Soldier more, I think, than that first Avengers, but they're close for me as far as like they scored similar, but for different reasons, right? Like I'll have different things ranked higher. The CGI was decent in this one, and there's some good moments, but when you're talking about like animating the Hulk or all of the Chitauri coming through the portal in the Avengers, like there's a lot of CGI points to be had there. Any other thoughts on this, man? It's just good. Like it's an iconic action film that happens to be in the MCU in my opinion.
One thing that kept me guessing, like I said, I didn't remember much of this film, and this is spoilers going forward for Bucky Barnes. I was sure that once he was introduced, we were going to get them, you know, getting him back in control of himself by the end of this movie. And it wasn't until like the last 20 minutes that I realized, wait, that's not going to happen. And then I started remembering his role in Civil War and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. No, this one's going to be a while.
Yeah. And, which is great. Yeah. We've talked about this before, but you don't have to kill all your good villains at the end of every movie. You know, you can play, especially with what they're doing. At this point, they had to have known what they're doing. At this point, they're playing long ball. Yeah. Also, shout outs to world building in that post-credits scene. We get the twins for the first time.
Yeah.
Wanda and Pietro Maximoff showing up and some more mentions of Infinity Stones. And this is just a good film. If you haven't watched this one or come back to this in a while, I'd highly encourage you to check it out. Shout out to Nick Kennett, who still to this day might have this one as like his one or two. And then I think Stephen Klim in one of our buddy discords was also like, yeah, I watch this like all the time on Disney Plus. I just turned on Winter Soldier. So he listened recently and was like, yeah. So shout out to those two guys, two big Winter Soldier fans. Again, if you would like to jump in and rank these with us, it is not too late. Just go back and watch them. We're only like 10 films in. That's doable in over Christmas break. You can watch 10 movies. But if you want to like just jump on now and go back to it later when you can, we're doing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, spoilers, really good movie.
Yeah.
But will it be enough to outrank Winter Soldier? I'm not sure. There will be links in the description. Open up this Google Sheet. We'll make it to where you can't manipulate our scores without making your own copy. So make a copy. And
making
then
copies.
And then Drew's delete all of copies. Our scores. Don't let them influence you. You rank these your own. It'd be really cool if we had enough of these eventually to where we could do like a two-man community score where your actual score will affect the community average.
The two-man ultimato.
The ultimato. We don't want part of it. We want all of it.
That was my Rotten Tomatoes reference.
Yeah.
That would be the nice. Two-man-tatoes reference.
Two-man-tatoes. That's a true deep cut. If you know what that means.
Do you know what a man-tato is? If you do, make sure join our Discord and describe what a man-tato is.
Yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No.
Yeah, sweet. Straight to it. Yeah. Drew, where can they find you on social media?
You can find anything you need to interact with me as a human being at drewmorrismusic.com.
You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller on all social media platforms. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because like I am Batman.
The real Bruce Wayne or Christopher Chance pretending?
Depends if somebody comes at me. Do I have a target? I don't know.
You can find... We would love to chat with you about things. I think I forgot to mention on the last episode that we have a Discord, a two-man Discord. It's gone a little dark as of late.
That's our fault.
Because we accidentally had two hiatuses in one calendar year.
Yep.
Sorry. If you're listening to this and you've been a through and through two-man fan, just jump on the Discord and let us know that you're excited. Well, hopefully that you're excited that these episodes are coming out again. Let us know what you would be interested in us discussing. But yeah, check the links in the description for our Discord. We have a Patreon if you ever want to help back what we're doing, maybe make it to where video enters the game a little sooner again. You can find our socials. Twitter is at Two Man Comic Book with the number two. Instagram, I think Facebook are Two Man Comic Book Club with the number two. And check out, make sure that you're jump in on the ranking of the MCU, our little rubric sheet down in the description. And I think last, we'd love to hear from you. You know, one of the easiest, since you can't leave a comment on a podcast, one of the easiest ways to reach out, just shoot us an email sometime. Two Man Comic Book Club.
Tweet, Facebook message, anything.
Yeah, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com. All of those with the number two.
Reviews go a long way on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you can leave reviews. If you read those and leave a 5-star review, we will read it on the podcast and give you a shout out. What's up?
One last thing. If you would like to put a little money in our slush fund and you want us to give you a shout out for 5 to 10 episodes, you can be the sponsor of our Gurgle Breaks, our IMDb Breaks.
Yes.
Kind of like how Alex let my Drew Makes YouTube channel sponsor whenever I was looking something up in the Internet Movie Database.
Right, for sure. That's been it for this week. Check out Human Target issues 1 through 6 at this point, because next episode we're doing 4, 5, and 6.
You got to make it to 6 before you listen to the next episode. If you're going to read, I encourage you to read.
Please read. Look at the art. It's so good.
So good.
Support local comics. If we don't hear you before then, Merry Christmas. Hopefully we hear you before then. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
This seems too soft.
That's what she said. The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
It's the chair.